Okay, well, let's get on to AUKUS now. And there is resistance. There's opposition to AUKUS outside of the Parliamentary Labor Party, no doubt about that. Within the Labor Party, the Parliamentary Party now, with the Ed Husic speaking out as he had. But it's this inquiry now that's going to be headed up by Peter Garrett into AUKUS. It's fascinating because it's so unconventional. That's kind of what I like about it. It's completely unconventional. They're not looking for former judges to start drawing evidence, and they go in with an open mind. These guys haven't got an open mind. They're holding this so they can build evidence against it.
Yeah, it's a, obviously it's a media stunt. It's a social media content proposition. As you say, you know, everybody knows what Peter Garrett's position is. He's been a lifelong opponent of the American alliance, apart from when he was in cabinet, when he was a supportive of the American alliance.
He once led the Nuclear Disarmament Party, and
yep.
Good on him for that.
Yep. Obviously, you know, his position is well known. The interesting thing to me about it is the Australia Institute is the sponsors of this unofficial inquiry. And, of course, they were very big movers behind the recent gas debate as well, the export levy. The Australian Institute, of course, has very much a Greens heritage, Greens Party heritage. Its current CEO is a former Greens staffer. Its previous one, Ben Oquist, great guy. He was a former Greens staffer, and Clive Hamilton, of course, before them, was a former Greens candidate. So they have a very strong Greens legacy, and that's fine. Labor's got think tanks, John Curtin Research Institute, and the Menzies Research Centre with the Little Putty and so forth. It's absolutely a legitimate process there. But I would argue that the Greens think tank is now more influential than the Greens parliamentary wing.
Yeah, that's an interesting argument, because I think they do have the influence and they've got the intellectual clout. And I think they allow all sorts of ideas to blossom. And this is the problem with what's going on within the Labor Party. And Ed Husic has pointed to it. It's this kind of strict discipline around everything. And my argument around that would be, by all means, you know, apply the discipline around policies, but first of all, have the debate. Have the debate first, and then apply the discipline. They didn't do that this time. There wasn't adequate debate in the caucus, and there was certainly no debate in the parliament around something as big as AUKUS. You know, like, why is the United States and the UK, why are they, this is supposed to be about Asia. Maybe it should be about Southeast Asia. It's about Asia. What's their role in this? It's the whole thing has become now about the subs, you know, the dud deal that Australia has signed up to. And what I think Peter Garrett and others want to draw attention to is that, look, I rarely ever meet anybody outside of the parliamentary party. I meet ex-ministers, I meet former party operatives, I meet stakeholders down the line. I can't find very many at all who support AUKUS. Mm. And that's what I think they're trying to expose here, that the party is exposed, has imposed a discipline on the caucus without having had the debate. And the reason they didn't have the debate in the parliament, of course, and why the media was not interested is because both of the major parties supported it. And the media is never interested in an issue if both major parties support it.
Yeah, I think Albanese small target strategy when he won in 2025 went along with AUKUS. His problem now is, you know, he's been on the record saying he won't touch it. You've only got a certain amount of political capital. He has spent a lot in the last month on the budget, on these new taxes. The biggest risk in politics is when you can finally do something that you've always wanted to do. And Albanese found himself in that position with 94 seats and effectively controlling the Senate with only needing the Greens. And it reminds me of 2004 when Howard not only won the House of Reps, but he actually won a majority in the Senate, with ironically it was Barnaby Joyce winning the fourth spot in Queensland, and so he did industrial relations. And it comes back to that argument before we had about pre-positioning for a big change. So the GST we spoke about, that 12 months of work, Howard didn't do that for the IR. He was just like, oh my God, we got this control of the Senate, let's do IR. And it was like, I was doing focus groups at the time, it was like a sidewinder missile. Voters were like, hang on a sec, why are we doing this? Like, I'm not opposed to it. But I don't understand why we're doing it, and Howard never explained that. So the question is, Albanese took a 10-point hit to his favourability. He's now net minus 19. That's a bad number for scale. Dutton and ScoMo were in the net minus 20s. So he's starting to hit into very unpopular territory. And I think if he uses that political capital that he's got left on AUKUS, where does that leave him?
But I think you're right. I think they do have to explain it better than they have to this point. Keep in mind, Admiral Chris Barry is a part of this as well. He was a former head of the Chief of the Defence Forces. And what it will do is force them into a debate. And they're going to have to explain it a little better than they did this week when America changed the rules, right? And the United States said, well, you were getting one USUB and two USUBs. Now you're getting three USUBs. And the government's reaction to that was, oh, that's a better deal anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine that. Anybody who's done a deal with a car yard, right? And I want one new car and two used cars. And they come back and said, look, we're going to give you three used cars. And you say, oh, that's fine. That's what I wanted all along. Mm. Like, that may be a simplistic way of putting it, but that's the way people will hear it. Pretty dumb. And they're going to have to do a whole lot better. And what this will do is shine a light on it. Mm-hmm. And because it's coming from their own constituency, they're going to be forced to address it. And yep. That's the way it ought to be.
Yep.
Just on tariffs before we finish up, I think this is one gift for Albanese and not a great week because it's so unreasonable on the part of Donald Trump to say, I'm going to link tariffs to slave labour. And where I see it, I'm going to slap tariffs on countries, and he slapped them on 54 countries, including Australia. It gives him a chance, I think, finally, to have a go at Trump over something. And what did he call it? The ideological, they're on a different planet ideologically or something on trade. But I think it's one small gift.
Yeah, do you think that's, what if Trump turns around and says, okay, 20% tariffs? I mean, mate, he's not a logical guy, Trump.
No, he's not logical. There is an element of logic behind it. Even if he's not talking about slave labour in Australia, though ironically it's a case of it just before the courts involving the ISIS brides this week, right on cue. But it's not a systemic problem in Australia, but there is in the supply chain. And because Australia takes goods from countries that do practice slave labour, and are we doing enough about that? And that's where trade can be used as a weapon, but not tariffs. Yeah. That's the difference. And people would need to see the distinction between trade as a general issue and imposing tariffs.
Yeah.
But surely, you know, that's one that the government can use to their advantage. All right, well, that's where we'll finish up this week. The podcast was made on the sovereign lands of the Wurundjeri people. It was produced by Daniel Seymour and Burton Nguyen.
The executive producer is Joe Koning.
I'm Barry Cassidy.
And I'm Tony Barry. This is Back to Back Barry's, the Guardian Australia podcast.